Sade and Paradise. Hey, welcome everyone. This is Studio W, the Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, we circle this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And now I'm so excited to bring on the Soul Savage Show with Q Lynn and Whitney. Hey, gang, what's going on?
Everything's going on.
Yes.
Trying to set the mood for the show. Just had to play a little bit of Sade to get the mood right.
That's exactly right. I love it. I love it. I'm already in a good mood.
Right? That song just put you in a great mood.
Same.
It was her birthday. We're giving birthday appreciations to musical royalty that is Sade and also Questlove, so I'm going to be playing songs. I was going to play a couple of Root songs, but I was like, no, I won't mess up the vibe. I'm going to keep this soulful vibe going up, even though the Roots is soulful to me, but we got to keep the same vein. So I'm going to be playing songs from my favorite songs of Sade's and Questlove's all show. Sade's, I got like a laundry list, but I didn't want to, like, some of the songs are kind of long, so I didn't want to just extend the show with all those, and then as well with a couple of album cuts that Questlove has played on. It's pretty lengthy, but I don't want to. It's too broad of a song. Like, it's like some of the songs is like 7-8 minutes long, and it's like we got a 2-hour show, but we can't spend the whole time on these long duration songs. So I was like, let me just find the real simple ones that's easy, you know, that. Because I was going to play Bilal sometimes, because Questlove played the drums on that. But I was like, that song is like almost 8 minutes long. And it's like, it's a great song, but it's like, I don't think the listeners is going to creep. They'd be like, damn, it's a long song if I play that. It's like more of an album cut, you know what I mean? Some album cuts, you just got to hear it from the album. It's not like, oh, let me just play it like on a radio show. It's not that. So some album cuts, that's my favorites, I can't play on the show because they're too long or they're too filthy. Like, I was going to play, what's that? I'm going to be honest. That Roots song is featuring Common. I forgot what album that's from, but it was nasty. I think it's called To You. I think it's off that All Fathers Aside album from the Roots, but either way, it's too lengthy. And it's very lyrically nasty, and I don't want to, like, you know, y'all need to hear that on the airwaves this early in the afternoon. If you're on the West Coast, I'm sure they don't want to hear that while they're in traffic. No, maybe so. I don't know. We might got some freaky listeners. I don't know. Y'all be,
man, are
y'all
you kidding
be,
me?
Y'all sending me all kind of freaky email requests. I'm like,
you talking about LA? Are you kidding me? The freaks come out at night.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, happy belated to the legendary Sade. Adu, that's her name, but you know, the band, I know it's easy to call Sade the band, it's actually the British band Sade, is that's the whole name of the band, but her name is Sade Adu or whatever, that's what that means, and whatever, so y'all get it. Sade, y'all know who I'm talking about. But either way, guest on now, just a phenomenal internet sensation, beautiful viral videos. If you know Decadent Dame, we got her on the line right now. How are you doing this afternoon? How are you doing?
Hey, how are you all?
Oh, we good. We just got into a little bit of a political thing. That's what we do on the show. We go either way. We go from talking about music and politics.
Yeah.
We just an all-around show. I got caught up with it. I was like, oh, yeah, but go ahead.
Come help it, so well.
Say it again.
Conversation.
Yeah. We're in and out. Yeah, you're going out just a little bit. You're going out a little bit.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, we can hear you.
I was saying conversation. So
yeah, we were just going in a little bit. But what I wanted to ask you, we usually with my guests, I try to get to their I call it their genesis story. It's a little bit blasphemous, but it's fine. That's what we do on the show. We kind of heathen and stuff.
it fits this perfectly. But I get to the genesis of people's stories, basically the beginning. I want to know, because first off, when I saw your videos, I think it was somebody had retweeted one of your videos. You were doing the voiceovers on, I think somebody was making something and you were doing a video, and I saw it on Twitter. And I can't remember which one it was, but I was like, this girl got away with it. It was just so smooth. I was like, we were playing, like, it put me in the mood, like, Sade and stuff like that. Like, I was like, but it was funny at the same time. I was like, I ain't never seen both of those dualities of, like, somebody being funny and then it being smooth like that. But that's how I got introduced, was on Twitter. And then it just started, I started seeing it on Instagram, and I think Snoop had reposted it on his thing, and I saw it on there too. And I was like, man, I got followers. She's hilarious. But I want to know, I know you're a poet. How did you get into that in terms of, like, your upbringing? Like, what made you want to get into poetry?
My mom and dad have always been, like, open-minded people. They never, you know, we're from a community where if you listen to jazz or different type of music, they look at you like, oh, that's weird. Y'all weird. Y'all doing this. That's weird. Like, my mom and dad allowed us to be ourselves. But at the same time, you know, they was mama and daddy, because I'm from Mississippi. So we from the South, and we both of our families are being on both sides. So it was refreshing to see that, okay, it's somebody in the group that can go, okay, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be yourself. So I'm looking like, man, you know, words, you can do 5 million different things with words. You could, when one person sees a sentence, I see like 10 or 15. Let me kind of do stuff with this. So even in like elementary, I was writing poems and reading contests, but it was like, oh, well, I'm a kid. I'm not taking this serious. So let me just, I don't know, let me just keep being my silly self. But the whole time I was still...
That's amazing. I want to know, like, because I was that kind of kid to where it was like, I would do all my work. Like, I would do my homework in the classroom so I wouldn't have to take, because I never took homework home with me. I would always do it in that classroom. Like, after they gave us the assignment, we would have, like, a few minutes before we go to our other class. That was, like, from grade school, middle school, high school. I would do that and just do my homework there so I could read my books, because I would have, like, different philosophers and different, like James Ball. I was reading that when I was like 5, 6 years old, but it was like books like that with novelties and some mostly fiction, because I like creatively making up stories in my head of how they're painting a story. But were you that kind of kid to where you were like, obsessive is kind of a strong word, but were you like into reading like a lot of books when you were a kid in school?
So reading, it was like, I felt like in my head, because I remember in the second grade, you know, they give you like points. The highest person with points get their picture on a hot air balloon. They get to go to a party. And I'm like, well, I'm not reading to win. I'm reading because, like, I know how to read. Like, I know some people scan through it, but, like, I'm reading word by word, breaking down those words and going, okay, I don't like that. You know, I don't kind of like this story. I could have, you know, it could have been different if they added this or added that. And if it was one thing I loved doing, it was reading. And I hated when the teacher, I understand they were trying to help students to read. I hated when they chose a reader who couldn't, like, just bring the story alive. Even as a kid, you know, you could bring the story to life. But, you know, they reading it monotone. They messing up, to me, what's a simple word. They messing up these words, and I'm looking like, man, I honestly feel like this teacher doing this on purpose, but I ain't gonna say nothing.
Yo,
I'm a child, and they an adult. So.
I used to hate those kids that would, like, I remember, man, I don't want to make fun of them, and they're like, I ain't gonna say his name on the radio, but there was one kid, like, he had some kind of thing with reading, and if he messed up a word, he would just start crying, and it was like, one of the readers, I used to hate those kind of readers, and then the ones that would read with their hand, their finger under the word. It's like, sir, like, it's a trial or something. Like, that's not a hard word to say. Or a neighbor, like, say it. Like, come on. Like, they'd be reading like they was, like, you know, the little dot that used to follow. I forgot what show that was, but it had a little dot moving in the subtitles. Like, that's how they'd read, and they used to bother me. I used to But I'll be competitive. I'll be like, man, I'm about to finish this in 30 seconds. Watch. It'd be like two paragraphs. I'm like, I'm about to kill it.
When people would read like that, I'd be like, oh, they still use a finger. But I'd be like, I'm the kid who actually said it out loud. But they was like, well, you can't say stuff like that. I'm like, how come? Like, what? Well,
I would practice it. Because I knew what sentence, by the time the teacher got to me, I knew what my paragraph or my sentence was. So I would sit there and, like, read through it. For a little bit, and I was like, I'm about to kill this. So she called on me. Go ahead and call my name so I can kill this one time, whatever. But that to me, I think when you are that kind of into the reading, I think those make the great writers and great, any facet of writing, whether you're a journalist or a poet, like always find like great writers and speakers, like can read well, read well, and, that just really pay attention to stuff. But what kind of books did you, was it mostly poetry or was it like a different like genres, like fiction and novels?
It was like a mixture of everything. I really want to say it was what I was feeling at the time. It was a mixture of, I could not get into nonfiction. I tried to get into it and I'm looking like, man, I can't even, to me, I can't bring somebody else to life. They supposed to make these, they were, they supposed to make them pop, like pop out and make me want to be like, dang, that's interesting. I didn't know that about you. I'd pick up, you know, they used to have like the little Michael Jackson book, I mean, Michael Jordan books and the little, who else would be on the cover? They'd have football players, certain seniors.
Oh, I don't know.
And I'd read like one page. Yeah, those little thin books. I'm like, yeah, get this out of here. So when I got to fantasy and to, like you said, to some lace and hairs, I was like, oh, man, this is some good stuff right here. I'm like, man, I was like, why are these teachers? Because I used to hate, I ain't going to say hate because that's a strong word. I used to get mad at the librarian because they'd go, choose any book you want to. But they'd be like, oh, don't go in that section. That's the shit in 7th and 8th grade. I'm like, ma'am, I am advanced in reading. Listen, these are kiddie books. Most of these people picking up books because of the color, not the title. Like, I'm actually reading the title. They picking it because they see a color on it and how thick the
paper is. They're like, ooh, that's like a yellow. Let me get that.
Let me read this. And I'm like, they be like, you read this book before? And I'd like, ooh, be snooty and turn my nose. I'm like, no, why would I read that? You actually like that book? Oh, then I'd be like, oh, man. I forgot, I can't say this out loud. I can't say this stuff out loud, but I didn't even have a filter as a kid. I mean, I had a filter with my parents, not talking to an adult crazy, but some stuff is just, you know, how most people, I said what most people were thinking, and I'm like, okay, well, it ain't going to affect me in no parts of life whatsoever. Yeah.
When was that, in terms of your poetry when did you actually start writing, or did you write your own poems? Like, what age was that when you started writing your own poems?
I started writing, like, I want to say in the first grade, because I started, the first poetry contest I won was, like, in the second. It had a second grade, and then it kept going through there. I actually have a poem, and I had to fight for that poem. I had to tell a classmate and the teacher, y'all got me messed up. In middle school, we did a yearbook. And on the first page, it's like the other student, it ain't even no drawing, it's a tracing. Their picture, ooh, that was shade. Their picture was there, and my poem is there. So I was like, I asked the student, I was like, you giving this directly to the teacher, right? Because I am serious about, don't play with my work. I actually did it. This came from my brain. She's like, yeah. I'm like, nah, screw that. I got to find out for myself. Let me go to the store. Hey, miss, whatever your name is. You putting my name on this paper, right? You putting this on the first page. Right? Okay, cool, bet. It's mine. I just want you to know this is mine. This is my poem. Don't give it to nobody. I wish you would. So I have been writing for the longest, and a stop and start, or people would actually ask me to write stuff for them. And I'm like, this don't sound like something you would say, but okay, I'll do that for you.
You are painting a great picture. First off, I love the tenacity of getting your work, making sure it got to the right person, and the right person did what they're supposed to do with it. That's amazing. That story is hilarious, because it's just like, you really wanted it, your work to be, you know, put to the right person, because it's like, don't be playing around with my stuff, because I get it. That's how you know you're a real artist, when you don't want nobody mess with your stuff.
I always looked at it as finding out other people is better. I was like, well, you know, I know a lot of people modern on technology. They won't pick up a book. They don't want it. I like the actual touch, the feeling I'm getting from turning a page, from actually reading it. And I always look at artists like, I see why they say they're sensitive about like their song or their catalog, because people like musicians and writers, they are the last historians. They are what's preserving knowledge. Like, ain't nobody out here just, you can look at a video, but that's not preserving knowledge. Like, if you actually writing it and you read it and you let those words sink into your brain, like, they there. And you can put them in 5 million different ways if you want to and get 5 million different contexts from it. So you can never run out of things to say. And I'm looking like, I don't understand. It's just like people who don't know how to communicate. I'm like, how can you run out of words? It's a million different words and a million different ways to say them.
Exactly. And you hit on, like, something that I always say about, because I'm a professional musician, and a lot of times musicians be wanting to know. And it's like, yo, you got to study it. And it's like, the more you study, the best musicians and the best singers, the reason why they're at that level is because they constantly, like, you constantly practice it, just like how you would brush your teeth or how you just do your regular routine, like eating and drinking and stuff like that. Like, that's how you got to take in, like, doing it as a regular routine, like an athlete, like how they get to where they go. Like, they have to practice so many times. And same with any kind of art that you're doing, you have to practice it in order for you to master it. And that's how you, but you still continue to be a student of it. That way the passion don't die, because you can easily, especially being a musician, because you can easily give up, especially if you are a starving musician where you're not necessarily getting as many gigs as you used to get. Like, you'll fall out of love with it, but you got to keep being persistent with it. So your point on that is, like, what I be saying to people all the time when they be talking about advice. I'm like, well, you got to do the work, and you got to practice. Like, that's mostly what it is. But what I was going to get to, you said something that, like, made me think of something, another question, and I was going to ask, like, in terms of, like, words for me, and being a music journalist too, I would like study. I like reading different words, and I like, because I'm like country. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Oklahoma, and we country. So sometimes my accent comes out sometimes, and so I be trying to cut. I cut sometimes because that's the only way some people can understand it. But I try to throw a word in, a big word in, to try to throw them off and be like, oh, where they can understand it. Because sometimes if I give it too much information, they won't take it in unless I cuss or something. But I just try to be funny with it. But I want to know, like, with words, like, do you ever try to be like, you know, I'm not going to say it like that. I'm going to say it this way, and try to look up words, different words, to try to say something. Like, instead of saying, ooh, that's good, like, that's superb or something like that. Like, have you ever done that before?
I wouldn't say I look it up. But what I do with my brain, what I tell a lot of people is, because most people either ask, and am I high when I do, they thought I was high when I did this, or they're thinking I'm writing this down, and I'm looking at the video in one take, and as I tell them, you know, my brain is my pencil, and my mouth is my paper, so when it's flowing out, I'm looking like, I'll look at the video, I'd go, I could just do the generic, but the generic is not giving you three or four things in one. I'm trying to make you think, laugh, feel an emotion. You're going to feel at least two or three emotions when I say something. And if I reiterate it too many times, it's like, okay, nah, that word is getting irritating to me, because I'm a bit of an overthinker. So I'm like, okay, I'm moving quick with it as it comes out. And I have to, like, hurry up and shuffle the word in my head while it's already recording so I can get it. And I'm like, ooh. I think this is it right here, and I'm gonna leave it alone. That's it. Or some days, it's like, if you see me in a video doing just my normal country, yo, that's just me being me. That's hey, you gonna get what you get. I ain't even finna try to go over this being me.
that's the duality of it, because at first it was like, I could tell that wasn't your regular. I knew that was like the perform, not like necessarily a performative thing, but it, I mean, I guess in a sense it is because you're doing the videos. But I was like, she seems fun because people that think outside the box like that, they usually have more to their personality than just that one video. So when you do the other videos doing the entertainment stuff, I'm like, that's I can dig that. And so for me, I was like, I didn't think you were high. Like, I feel like that was you being you. I was like, and when I saw some of the comments saying that, I thought it was weird. I was like, people just don't, because when people try to, like, put you in a box of, like, this is how I saw you, so this is how you always got to be, and if you show them another side to you, it's like,
yeah.
Are you drunk or high? And it's so weird. I hate it. It's so weird.
I have been fighting it for the longest. Like, if I come in on somebody else's stuff, stick to food, and I'm like, whoa, buddy, no, I'm not about to.
Right.
That's not, you're not putting me in no box. I didn't come in no box, baby. I came like the rain. I came straight on down, and I hit everything. I watered and nurtured everything. I'm not in no box, so stop trying to put me in a box. And they love trying to do that, and they're like, so which one is your real boy? I'm like, all of it is real. It is nothing fake. It ain't nothing generic. I just want people to understand it is okay to be yourself. You know, you might have to work. I had to work on myself, but it's okay to be yourself.
Right.
Don't dilute you for the sake. Don't dilute yourself for the sake of somebody else, because that's how people lose their creativity, because they eventually fall in line to other people. I told a teacher one time, I got sent to detention, and I had to write an article. And the article to me was the dumbest article ever, because that was the only piece of the magazine that they had gave me. And I wrote, I did a complete 360. And I think it was my PE teacher. I ended up getting 100 on that paper, and it got submitted to the principal, because I was like, you ever wonder why so many people fall in line? You have the line leader, you got the door holder, but the student who steps outside of line usually gets in trouble. No, that student is the only one making sense, because if you continue to walk straight and that's the only path you know, and there's so many different directions, how do you know what else you can discover following somebody else? It's monkey see, monkey do. So when it falls down to it, I'll be that student who steps outside the line, because I'm not trying to follow everybody else's path. I'm trying to create my own.
Yeah, that, and you hit it right on. It's just, when you're, I guess, the position you're in, you're like an influencer now. So your people see you how they came to you to be. That's how they want you to stay. But it's like, now I really understood this when artists and that be trying to come out with different albums when they want to express themselves. They be like, dang, what it is. Like if Erykah Badu came out with a pop record or something, like, or something just eccentric to what she extended on with her music, he was like, man, I don't like this, I want Neo Soul. And it's like, no, she's grown with every album, and it's like, it makes sense to me. But when other influences, when they want to, like yourself, when I saw that, I was like, I like this, and I just took it all in, and it was like something new. But it wasn't like, I would never tell somebody stick to doing this, because it's like, why would you even put somebody in a box? But I don't know why people act like that anyway, because in their real life, people know, especially black folks, when we, if they worked in their workplace, they got a work face in the office, and they got a different face when they're at home. Because they're not going to act the same way they act at home. So I don't know why people try to act like they don't have different sides to themselves. That's what be making me laugh. It's like, you know,
exactly.
You don't act the same way when you're at home, when you're at work. It's two different
faces. You know what
faces.
It's fear. 9 times out of 10, it's fear. I have a friend,
mm-hmm.
and I tell him all the time, I'm like, you ever notice that you get more love and support from strangers in your own community, and your community, they're too busy still trying to do mediocre high school stuff, which is to fit in, because they know if they are themselves, then people might look at them differently, or people might say something about them, or get on them, and they don't know how to take that, because they've been putting on a facade their entire life that they don't know nothing else but to follow somebody else other than to be themselves. And by the time you have 40 and 50 year olds trying to figure out who they are, when they never had somebody in their surrounding telling them, hey, it is literally okay to be yourself. Man, you want to be a person who paint dogs nails? Girl, baby, paint them dogs nails. Who's going to tell you? they talk about Jesus. They gonna talk about you. If I had listened to every teacher that told me that I had talked too much, I had to listen to it and taken it to heart, they probably would have silenced my spirit. But I was like, right. Man, damn, y'all teachers, y'all don't talk enough. Like I feel like I'm teaching your class more than you. Like, get up out of here. What?
That's what it is. I only got a couple more questions before we go to break real quick and have my co-host ask you some questions. But I want to know, in terms of musically, like, is there any artist or any music that you listen to, whatever genre, that you listen to that music that influences your writing?
I can say music is my heart. As Marvin Gaye said, music is my heart, my soul. Happiness is just a smile. Music is my heart. Music is like the beat, the lyricism. I actually did a live yesterday, and I was reading some of the lyrics, the modern day lyrics from new people, and I was like these people not even, they just saying stuff. Like, it has no meaning. It has no nothing, it has no substance, it's just there. So when I listen to stuff like, I'm gonna be honest, because I be in the car thugging every morning listening to Rhapsody, she's not using profanity to get her point across. This is a, right. She ain't using anger, she ain't yelling, she's using straight passion, and you actually saying words that most people wouldn't even say, because this is not what they want to hear. They want to hear the twerk some, shake some ass, and my cat is wet. And I'm like, well, that's all they know, because they don't know how to use words. They're not actually feeling their lyrics. They're being generated by something else other than, you know, passion, what you feeling. You know, you have to, what your emotion that you feeling inside of yourself, you got to push that out on your pen. Because I actually got to talk, I love Sir. I love Miguel. I'm the biggest Aaliyah fan. I love Otis Redding. Old school music is gonna take me there. I actually got to talk to Sir, and when he told me he was having, he was trying to work on a song, and I was like, wait, people actually get writer's block? He's like, yeah, this is a serious thing. And in my head, I was like, how can you get that? Like, it is. I'm an overthinker. Like, I feel like I can never run out of words. Like, if you put 5 million pieces of paper in front of me, they would be filled.
I wasn't gonna ask another question. I was just gonna say, when you were saying that about rap music, to me, I like the duality of, like, I love all what you said with the old school music, because that's me all day. To me, my nostalgia runs different, because different periods in my life, like some music, when I listen to Al Green and Bobby Womack, like, that takes me back to, like, being in my grandpa's 76 Chevrolet in the back seat, and then with the 8-track popping. And then, you know, sometimes I feel like listening to Project Pat and 3-6 Mafia, because it takes me back to my junior high, middle, and high school days. And then sometimes I like listening to, it just depends on what it is, but I like the diversity of music, because it's like sometimes I want to hear Shake That Ass and all that shit with Too Short and all that was saying. Then I might listen to The Roots and Common. It's just, that's how I am. And I feel like the embracement of all that, that's what I love with some of these new listeners of music. Like, I try to, like, learn from what my nieces and nephews listen to, but then I also give them something like, hey, have you ever heard of Shirley Murdoch? Like, let me slide you a couple of them songs. And it's like, okay, this is 21 Savage and Lil Baby and Da Baby. Okay, I don't know none of these rappers, all these babies, but I listen to it. And it's just an even exchange, because it's like, oh, we don't teach them. We just tell them, like, oh, you don't know nothing about music, but we don't ever teach you music. We just tell them they don't know nothing about it. But But go ahead.
Get on TikTok and you try to teach them, like, hey, you know this Tupac song, but this is a sample from this song that Michael Jackson actually had. Oh, they not gonna hear that. They like, no, this not. This Lil Baby. I'm like, no, like, this is a sample of a sample of a sample.
Right.
And you should listen to, like you saying, like,
right.
Like you said, you trying to teach them. You like, but you should listen to these two songs. They're like, nah, this is song right here. This is how we know. Like, they recently did that to a Leah song, and we went down from that to where Timlin got that a sample from that beat from, and they like, girl, this is Dream Doll. I'm like, what? Okay, let me go on back into my era then, because I ain't feel hard with no child.
It's a hard thing to teach your kids, man, because they be like, nah, I'm going to stick with this over here. But it's like, okay, let me bargain with you. If you like these songs, it's like a trade-off I try to do with it, just to let them know that, you know, I ain't trying to trash. Some of it is trash. I'm not going to be dishonest to say that some of it ain't bad. Because it's like, I'm not fixing to hear somebody repeat the same words for three verses. Like, we not fixing to do this. I need to hear a hook and a melody at some point. But again, I still be open. It's just like, teaching young kids is hard. Because they be, and then, but yeah, that's a whole other subject. But I only got like one more question before we go to break, and I'll let my co-host go. But in terms of what your video, how you started doing your videos. Well, first of all, how did you even start doing those videos? What made you want to do those?
No, I always, what you see, I promise, I'm like this on a daily basis. I say the silliest stuff ever. My dad, when he was living, his favorite line was, girl, you need to stop smoking that crack. And I'd be tickle pink, like, you know, say something silly to him. But, so I have been trying on Facebook for the longest to showcase my silliness. And I guess, you know, you either got to be part of the clique, messy boots or something like that. Facebook wasn't feeling it. So I was trying on Instagram. Instagram sort of kind of felt it. And then I remember TikTok had a previous app that used to be Musical.ly. And I was on Musical.ly, and I was like, man, you know, okay, I had made the TikTok in like December or November, and the first two videos I put up, I'm like, man, anybody looking at this stuff? You know, I'm trying to follow the little trends that the kids doing. I'm like, this ain't working. But I'm steady doing the latest trends each and every day. I think I left it alone for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I got on there and I saw, I don't like my food touching. And people actually thinking, I started off with the decadent tone. No, I started off yelling, like being myself, like, hey, that don't go with that, that ain't cooked. And this first video went viral. I'm like, oh man, these folks kind of weird. Okay, they love me over here. So I had felt so overwhelmed and blessed, because I was like, I found my platform, because TikTok actually gave me my platform. So then one day when I got, I started doing charcuterie. I love cheese. I'm like, I know these people love cheese. Charcuterie. They started saying it like that. They went even crazier. They were saying that on, Twitter. So that, see.
Yeah.
So that went a little
that definitely was like, the charcuterie board. That's what I saw. Cause I love charcuterie boards. That's my ministry.
I'm trying to tell people, I'm like, how y'all don't like cheese? She got the cheese. She got the whole cheese. Listen, I know if I can't afford nothing else, I'm a car. Baby, I love some food, and I love some cheese. Macaroni and cheese, my favorite food. So they
fell
in love with the
charcuterie. Listen, macaroni and cheese is a love language, and it's like, it's ridiculous how much I love it. But your videos, it was one video that actually you did when I, because I started seeing how I got introduced to you was the decadent game videos, the voiceover things. But when I saw you do the ones where you just being yourself and you was talking about the reaction videos, and it was some, whatever that broad name was that had that disgusting stove, that's what I'm gonna call it. And she was trying to cook something on that stove. I was like, oh my God, what is this? And your reaction, I was like, this is freaking hilarious. I was like, because that's everything I was thinking. I was like, throw the whole stove away. And before you even throw the food away, throw the whole stove away and just, need you to get a budget for that, because that's anytime somebody stole. I don't know if it's a country thing or a black thing, but if I see somebody stove that just, if it's dirty, I know the food ain't hitting on nothing. If I see your stove in a video, I'm not even watching.
If you black, because my mama, you feel a scrub on Sunday or Saturday, you finna open all the doors. We finna air the day. We finna die off of oven cleaner and ammonia. We finna scrub. I know clean when I see it. You finna scrub about 20 times. Like, dang,
that's how I know.
She don't care. Right. Scrub for both.
This how I know some of them ain't listening to Me the Baker on weekends to clean house. I know people ain't cleaning house on weekends no more. Just by that video that she did, a reaction video, I'm like, I know she don't clean on weekends. Like, I know it. Ain't no Anita Baker popping, no Betty Rice, none of that is going on in the household. If your stove looks like that, it ain't. But yeah, my co-host Whitney has some questions for you. What we're going to do real quick, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I'll play this game with you as well after she finish her questions with you. But we're playing All Songs by Sade and Questlove, giving birthday appreciations to them all. Show happy belated to those musical royalty geniuses. But Will, if you're ready, we're going to go to break real quick. When we come back, we're going to finish talking with Ms. Decadent Dave when we come back. We'll be back, y'all.
That's real smooth. Hey, back on the Soul Savage Show with Q-Lan Green and Whitney and a very special guest. Back to you, Q.
Yes. Whitney, you go ahead with your question.
Well, before I start the questions, it has been amazing just having you on. Like, I don't know if you heard me going off when you first got on the call about my day, but, like, as soon as you got on, I was like, yes, this is exactly what I needed, some conversation that makes sense. And I thought it was so fitting that, like, I had we had been talking about reading at school today because I work in education, and then I get on here and I heard a lot about, like, your love of reading and just, like, how you were advanced in your reading while others were behind. Other than, like, I guess maybe your family putting books and stuff around you, what made you just really love reading? Like, what made you want to read?
Oh, my mama, like, yeah, I don't know how other people but why the kids playing and doing all that, again, the neighbors and all that, my mama was like, look, here go this big old alphabet board. You need to go over all of these words, read two or three books. And it was like, okay, at first it seemed like punishment, and then it seemed, then it seemed like a challenge. And I was like, wait a minute. Man, I can actually, this is a time, you know, even kids need me time. This is me time. This is therapeutic. This is relief. I ain't got to be bad today or cause no mayhem or fight over a toy with my siblings because I can read a book. Who finna argue over you with a book? Who finna mess with you for reading a book? They going to look at you and be like, wow. And I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm reading a book. I'm finna learn some words, oh, yeah. Whether I know them or not, I might be pronouncing it wrong this time, but I'm finna get it right because I wanted to know. I was interested in, that's another reason I was interested in, instead of asking, you know, how some kids, because they constantly go, what this word mean? What this word mean? What this word mean? I like the fact that sometimes, even if I didn't have a dictionary, if I read the sentence more than once or twice, and I saw how that word was fitting into that sentence, then I could actually understand what it meant. Okay, so I don't even need no dictionary. I know what this word means without looking up now, and I ain't even got to ask my mama then. Matter of fact, I can correct them on some words that they getting wrong and don't know the meaning too.
That's interesting, because that, what you're talking about, like, that is literally the process that we were looking at. It's not a natural process that takes place, but, like, the front of your brain and the back of your brain, they're disconnected. But as we learn to read, as we learn to, like, decode words and break them down, I mean, like, literally everything that you have talked about, it is literally, like, there was more than 300 people in attendance, like, in this Zoom studying the process that you're discussing. But the way you talk about it, like, it almost sounds simplified. Like, if you go and you look at what it really is, like, the way that you explain it, I don't know if people, like, fully acknowledging, or I couldn't until today fully acknowledge, like, what that process is and the work that, like, our brains have to do to get the front and the back of your brain, like, to connect together so that you can look at something and understand, like, based on the context, what it is. And, like, there's a huge gap that exists right now, like, in our kids overall, and their ability to do that. And so, anyway, as I'm sitting here listening to this, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to, like, a kid genius who grew up right here with the reading. Like, it's refreshing and it's encouraging. Because, like, when you talk about reading, it sounds cool. Like, I've never heard anybody talk about reading like you do in words. And, like, that's what seems like is missing. Did you realize that you were kind of different, like, your love for reading? Like, when you kind of looked around and realized, like, people weren't quite where you were, did you understand, like, that you kind of stood out in a way? Like, because you were so into it?
Oh, I used to get mad because, like, it wasn't like with a reading time, I actually used to try to get up and like sneak to the bathroom or I used to try to fake like I didn't know the words or couldn't read it because I already knew the teacher was going to call me to read. Like it never failed in whatever it could be history, geography, they were always going to call me to read. And they say because I could project, my voice could project, and I'm actually saying the words and not just mumbling them together, but I'm looking like, well, man, I don't want to make nobody else feel bad. Like, stop calling me to read. I'm trying to read. Like, I didn't have a problem reading out loud. But when they call you so much to do it, like,
yeah,
you get, to me, I'd get frustrated because I'm like, well, I don't like hearing my voice sometimes because that's one thing that makes me overthink because I can hear my voice in my head. So not only do I have to read this out loud because I've been sitting here reading it while somebody else is reading, now you want me to read out loud, and it's like I'm hearing two voices at the same time and I can't just turn it off. And then I'd read so much and they'd be like, no, no, continue. Go ahead and finish the whole thing. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. That's not a problem at all. And like, you know how you'd get to, you were a kid and you travel and most kids would get bored quick. You know, I look out the window. If I see a car or a sticker, I'm trying to read it, even if it's far away. If it's a fine print or a commercial, you know, oh, that was my favorite thing. Like if a commercial came up and they put a fine print up, I'm trying to hurry up and read it or see if I could actually read it. I'm like, yeah, okay, we got, maybe that's how them words got trapped up there in the first place. They've been trying to get out.
So, like, would you consider yourself, like as a kid and even now, like into adulthood, do you feel like you're a confident person? Or, cause to me, you seem very confident and it seems like you've been that way for a while, but sometimes when I ask people that, they're like, oh, no, that's not really how I see myself.
Confident, but not in a bragging way. I'm confident because, like I was saying earlier, my mom and dad always allowed us to be ourselves. If we would have came and said, we want to be an astronaut, they wouldn't have said, who wants to be, you know, an astronaut? That's stupid. You got to go do a bunch of schoolwork. They'd say something like, hey, you did the thing you want to be. You know, after I give you this ass whipping, you can be whatever you want to be. They never win. They say, hey, you, sometimes you talk too much, but they'll never tell me, hey, stop talking or stop being yourself. My mom and dad would always go, baby, keep being yourself. I instill that into all of my children. So the best, to me, that's the best thing you can wear is your confidence. And my confidence comes from, I know how to be myself. I'm not afraid to be myself. And if it offends somebody else, then that just means that's intimidating their spirit. Something ain't sitting right with their spirit. Baby, I can't fix your spirit because I'm still busy working on it.
Right. I feel you on that 120,000%. And just one other question, just kind of touching on some things you said earlier. If you were like, and this is me asking for help, I guess, with my own job, because I'll be trying to figure out, like, how can we get kids a little more excited? And I know some of it comes from, like, the adults who are in the classroom and things like that, very much aware. But when we're just, like, talking to kids, trying to pump them up and encourage them, if you had, you know, the chance to, like, talk to some students, what are some things that you would tell them about, like, why reading is important to try to help get them more engaged with it?
I try to figure out one thing is why you talk to them like make children, why you don't like reading? Man, you crazy. Reading is funny. Look, read this to me in your own way. Okay, let's see what else we can do with this. And you know, that's something to get them pumped up right there. They put them together in their own way. It might not be the same word in that book, but okay, you did that. Now read to me what you just wrote. Write down what you just said and read it to me. That's the kind of idea, isn't it? Okay, well, let's try this sentence in this book. Now let's try this sentence in this book. You like the way this sentence sounds in this book? Okay, so for every sentence you read in this book, I want you to write your own sentence and then read it to me. And you tell me how that sounds. Because this sounds kind of, you're putting your own story together. Look at you. You a little writer. Look at you.
Shoot, got me pumped up. I feel like, I'm like, shoot, I can, let me get this laptop open. I'm about to write a whole story right now. But that's like, that's good for real. And I get, it's like, it's been a minute, cause schools are not open. And so I feel like super disconnected from the kids and like what they really thinking. And being able to have like those one-on-one moments, but that's a good reminder and a good call out. Cause again, the work and the challenges that come for some people, like with reading, you know, there's all types of things that cause some of these, hiccups, if you will, with people struggling with it. But just that general reminder of like to make it fun and to be creative with it, because kids definitely love to create their own stories. And when you give them those platforms and like those tools to do it, like they'll amaze you. They amaze me every single time. But that's a nice way to go about it. Like, and I'm going to use that for real because that's legit. Last thing, is there anything, because, you know, I don't want to put you in a box. I know you do different things. Is there anything that you're working on that you want to let, you know, people know about, or anything like that we may not know that you want to do creatively that you want to share?
I don't like referring to people as fans at all. I don't like to refer to people mm-hmm. as fans because I know what it's like to be a fan. You get overlooked, not acknowledged. So my people, baby grapes and honeycombs, you know, they keep getting on me now. When you gonna narrate? I am working on it. I'm behind the scenes. What they don't know is I actually work a 9-to-5, and then on top of that, I'm doing the videos, and I'm actually, you know, handling business at home, so I'm working on that
right. Behind
the scenes. I told Ms. Tabitha Brown, she was like, well, most people say, what do you want to get out of this? I said, hey, I want to be a modern-day narrator. David Attenberger, you had enough time. Go on somewhere. Get somebody in here that can relate, man. Put some flavor up in that thing. Let me do it. I'm telling you what I came to do. I'm going to take it. I always, further on down the line, I hope and I can pray, because I like giving back to people. I love speaking to people. I actually had the youth on TikTok reach out to me, and I was crying. Kids were saying, man, I've never heard words like this. Thank you for, like, I actually was listening to this stuff. Thank you for introducing me to words. And I was like, to me, and I had to listen with my heart instead of going, wait, what? This, to me, these are simple words. And, like, what is they not giving? So I'm further on down the road. I pray to be a motivational speaker. So when I get this, I am working on my podcast so they can get up off my back.
That's dope. Listen, we got this game we play on the show with all our guests. It's called the What's Wrong With You game. I'm going to explain it because people get confused on the rules. It's a lot of rules to it, but most of them is you basically got to pick what I pick is mostly the rules of the game. And it's an either-or game. It's a musical game. You basically picking which artist you listen to most on your playlist. So, and some of these, these singers or musicians, they got, like, producer and songwriter credits. So if you want to, if you know their catalog like that, you can add that in as your deciding factor of who you listen to more on your playlist. So I'm going to start it off with Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
Marvin, I'm coming with Marvin.
There you go. You're talking right. The next one is the OJs or the Whispers.
OJs. I can't. You'd have to sing me a Whisper song because I don't even know what that is.
What's one?
Sing
it. Nothing. That's one. And then In the Mood is one. This is what I do to get you in the mood. That one. You know that one?
Oh, well, I don't know. It's a little thing.
What's
Yeah, the love thing. And then,
look at me, I need to get caught up.
Rock steady, rocking all night long. That one. You don't know that one? It's a bunch of them. But which one you going with? You going with Whispers or OJ's? I'm assuming the OJ's because you know more of their catalog from. You going with the OJ's?
I was hoping to blow up sooner. Because my life goal was to take my daddy to a Steeler game and take my mama to meet Prince. My mama is the biggest Prince fan. Listen, Prince sitting in the living room in there.
Listen, man, Prince put on a show. You should have told your mama to go to Inglewood in California, like, I think it was in 2011. He had 21 shows in, like, April that was, like, $20. Like, that's how much the show cost. And he would perform for, like, 5 hours. So your mama should have been in California. She could have got a good discount on tickets because them tickets was all $20 for 20 days or something like that. But, yeah, I get you on it. Listen, those were all trick questions. Either way, you would have went with that. You would have got it right. Those were little bonuses. And the thing with this game is I kind of put you on a roller coaster ride because now we're about to go up and – this is where the tone of the game switches. Now you got to get all these right, or you're going to get a what's wrong with you. It's kind of intense, but it just depends on how you answer. Like I said, if you answer the way you, like I want you to, then you
the
don't
game
win
the game.
So you shouldn't have a problem.
The game is rigged.
That's how producer Will, and he don't know what he's talking about. That's
the game is rigged.
Nothing's rigged about this. Okay, we're going to go to – I'm going to put it like this.
I promise you the game is rigged.
Listen, he don't know what he's talking about. He's making up stuff. But the next one is MJ specific.
Lady
off
Dame,
the wall or
please
thriller.
Trust me. The game is rigged.
Will. Kayete, Will. Go ahead. Thriller or off the wall?
I don't know. What is off the wall?
Off the wall. Well, off the wall is one, and then Rock With You, you got my mind a blank now. Most of the ones I know is album cuts, like Get On The Floor and stuff like that. What else is on there? Rock With You, Oh, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Thriller.
I'm going with Thriller.
You going with Thriller? That's what you said? You going with Thriller?
I'm going with Thriller.
Okay. Here's the thing. When you don't pick what I pick, I make up the rules as I go. And so, one of the rules is if you don't pick what I pick, then whatever you pick, you got 15 seconds to name me. Sir, I'm about to put you on mute. Fall back, sir.
Voter intimidation.
She ain't lost yet, okay? So what you say is on the spot. What I'm saying is the rules, like I said, that I make up. One of the rules I made up was if you don't pick what I pick, then you've got 15 seconds to name me three songs from Thriller.
Sound like some shit to me.
I'm about to start the clock right now. 15 seconds. Go ahead. Name me three songs from Thriller that you like.
Yeah. Republican.
Three songs for Thriller.
Give me three songs for Thriller. Oh, no, that ain't it. Ooh, Kim Lane on there. You're Not Alone. No, that ain't on there.
It's what's on there? Human Nature. What is it? Beat It. It's
Human Nature. I can't think of some more. Oh, PYT. PYT's on there. What else is, oh, damn it, I can't think of the name of the song. I can't think of the rest of it. That's why
it
ain't my favorite,
because
I can't name three songs.
Thriller. Your title cut. Thriller.
Yeah, Thriller's one, yeah.
Damn.
No, I said three. You gotta give me three.
Well, you already got five.
Just made me three songs from Thriller.
This is witness tampering.
This ain't, listen, I just need to name me three songs. Okay, you said Thriller. Give me three more. Yeah.
Three songs.
I would give you credit for one. You got one. If you give me two more, okay, you might like this one slide. You gave me one, so I'm gonna give you credit for one. Listen, you don't give me
wrong. You got PYT, right?
Yes, PYT.
She got Thriller. She got Bad.
Okay, Thriller.
Got Beat It.
And then give me one more.
Beat it.
Okay, that's three. Okay, you gave me three. I'm not believing that you got any of these on your playlist, but you named three of them. So that's all that matters to me. Okay, so you don't get what
I know. I probably got four Michael Jackson songs, and I know this the Earth song. That's Beat It is one of them, which is crazy. I got
Yes, it is one of them. You were right.
Billy Jean and,
yes, Billy Jean.
I got Scream on now. That's about it. You know, Michael just skip time to time. I can't hear him all the time. I can't thug off Michael in the morning.
That's hilarious. Listen, you being real and honest.
You got to be in the
morning. Y'all, you being real, because I just want the honesty. That's the whole point of the game, is the honesty. So, you name three, like I said. You don't get a what's wrong with you. But usually, if you don't agree with me, you get a what's wrong with you all bad. But since you said you named three songs, you don't get a what's wrong with you, but you do get a negative 17 points. You do get points deducted from not, because you're supposed to pick what I pick. That's the rules of the game. And so, the next one is...
You want honesty? That's funny.
Listen, we'll go to the next one. The next one is, I'm scared now. She didn't get that. It might be a what's wrong with you. I don't know the vibe of it. I don't know. But I'm going to throw it out there. Okay, we'll go with Miss Patty or Miss Aretha.
Oh, I'm going to lose Aretha. Oh, Lord. Aretha, Lord.
You going with Aretha? That's your pick?
I'm going with Aretha, because I can't tell you a Patti LaBelle song except Marmalade.
Okay,
I can tell you a Patti song. What Patti say?
Oh, my God. Listen, you know, so you got more songs of Aretha's on your playlist than Patti. That's what you say. Listen, okay. The rule still applies now. Okay, so you got to name me three Aretha songs in 20 seconds. Because I'm
going
to give you an
I
extra
keep going
five.
You
give me three Aretha songs right now. Name me three Aretha songs.
Okay, three Aretha songs.
You're not respecting the guests.
I said a rose is still a rose.
Okay. Rose, that's the first time somebody said that one. Okay, I'll take that. What was the second one?
Time after time.
Okay. What's the third one?
R-E-S-T-E-C-T.
That's right.
You got to respect your partner, man.
You know what? You know what? Since you said Rose, you're the first guest. It's been so many people that's been on that have picked Aretha, and they never gave Rose, because Rose Still Rose was the joint in the 90s, and people sleep on that one with Lauryn Hill. So that's your first answer. I'm gonna give you like I said, you don't get what's wrong with you. I ain't gonna give you that many negative points, but you do gonna get a negative five. So. You got -5 on that one. You don't get what's wrong with you, but you got -5 points. And then the next one is Brian McKnight or Babyface. Hey, you taking hard on that one, ain't you? The Brian McKnight or Babyface?
Wait, say it again.
Brian McKnight or Babyface.
But Babyface.
There you go. You talking right. Okay, you making me nervous because I don't know which way you're going. But you talking right. You didn't get what's wrong with you on that one. You got it all the way right on that. This one is a bonus. So how do you feel on this one? To me, depending on your answer, it may or may not count. But I'm going to throw it out here anyway. This is a bonus one. Faith Evans or Mary J. Blige?
My Lord. Mary J. Blige, okay, man, I know one Faith Evans song.
Are you? Oh, my God. What? Her first album is just
the
single. You know more Faith Evans song. You don't know as soon as you get home, as soon as I get home. You don't know as soon as I get home and all this money.
Whitney, I think this is harassment. You are harassing the guest.
Listen, I was asking questions. I didn't want to know. She said she didn't know no song. I'm like, whatever. What? Listen, did the cable go out in Mississippi? How do you know no Faith Evans? Faith Evans song. I just want to know. I'm asking questions. That's how I'm doing.
I ain't no Faith Evans person, so I don't know.
Okay,
that's right.
You know.
So, what's your favorite Mary album? What's your favorite Mary album?
I got the name of it.
We got. What's the 411? What was the one? My Life. Share My World. Mary. It's some more. I can't think of Growing Pains. That's the early 2000 record. Which one?
All of the time that I was loving you. My Life. I'm saying My Life.
That's Share My Life. Oh, yeah, My Life.
Be yourself.
I think that was from, yeah. So you like the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack is what you said. Listen, okay, I can accept that. That's great. The song you picked from the album is a great, Share My World is a great album, so I give you that. Okay, like I said, that was a bonus, so it don't count anyway. But, okay, you got, okay, I was deliberating if you was going to get What's Wrong With You Not, but since you got the baby face will save you. So I've concluded the What's Wrong With You game, and I've determined that there's nothing wrong with Miss Decadent Dame. You won the game. How about that? You won the game. We gotta cash app you. I'm gonna send you so you can $2.15 so you can go to the convenience store and get you a 40 ounce on me. How about that? How's that sound? Thank you so much for listen.
I ain't gonna mess with that.
Listen, it's been such a pleasure having you on.
I'm gonna give
go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I want to give you no big. I don't give me a little blue mystique with that little $2.
You said blue mystique. I ain't heard that in a minute since I was in. Oh, man, you took me back with that one. I ain't heard that's like Mad Dog 2020 saying that to me. That's some kind of trick. That's hilarious. You can get a, what's the ones? The big, tall, what's the tall beers? They like $1.99 or something like that. You can get some of them, too. I cash app you $2. But thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for coming on. When you were talking, when we did ask you
her last... I really enjoyed this. Like, I truly did.
Listen, it was a pleasure for us. When Whitney was asking you her last question, and you were referencing... what Tabitha Brown asked you in terms of what you wanted to do moving forward, and you said you wanted to do narration. It's like your voice and what you do, like you have, like I said, different things to creatively that you're doing, and the fact fact that you have found different ways to express that, like who you naturally are, and then the gift of words that you have, I think that just shows like the what prepared you when you was a kid, reading and all the things that you, that prepared you is what you're doing now, and like manifesting itself in different fashions. So I think narration, like you can pull that any kind of way, like with either cartoon narration, animation, or voiceovers. Like it can extend beyond however you want. So I'm excited to see your journey with that. And I know you said you're juggling doing what you're doing creatively in 9 to 5, but I feel like you're gonna be in a space to where that 9 to 5 is just gonna be a path, your journey that's leading to where you're supposed to go. So I just thank you for coming on, and you're just a really great talent that I think just blossoming and doing all kinds of stuff. So. But yeah, your videos are amazing. Your talent, you're truly gifted, and I love. No, your gift. I see it taking you. Just the fact that you got the attention of certain people with influence, like Tabitha Brown, because she's on her journey as well. You know, doing her own thing. She's blossoming and about to go into different mainstream levels. And I see the same thing for you, because your voice, you can. That's your gift. And it's like people with gifts like that. It when it's presented to the right people, all you need to be is in the room, and you've already in that space. Creatively, just being in the music industry, just all you have to do is be in the know and be in the right connections, and then you just, it just takes that one person that might connect you to your destiny. So I feel like that's going to be you. So I'm just happy I got you on before you blow up and you everywhere. I'm just glad you got on the show. So I see you probably ain't, you're going to be booked and busy after more your videos or whatever you're creatively doing. I'm looking forward to the podcast. Listen, I know how it is with the creative process, so however you give it to us, that's how I'm going to receive it. So if it's a month from now, 2 months, I'm very elated to see what you're doing with your podcast, and I'll be 100% supporting it, whatever you need. If you got T-shirts you're coming with, Decadent Dame, and all those, any sayings that you come up with, if you get that merchandise popping, I'm getting it. So thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Hey. It was amazing. Thank you. Like, I'm glad I did it. I am glad, because, Lord, there's some crazy people out here. Some of them DMs I don't read because there's lunatics all up in them things. But, you know, when the Lord presented to you in the right manner.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. I know. Listen, that's why I'm glad you came on, because I know it's a month now. Your destiny, I see it going however you want it to go. So I'm trying to get you while I can still get to you before CNN and ABC and all of them have you on their daytime shows doing whatever you're trying to do gift wise. So I just appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I keep listen. Yeah, listen. I really enjoy. We need more. We need more radio stations like this, because some of the stuff I be listening to, I don't even listen to radio, but I turn it off because it be a snooze fest. I can get into. I'm already into it.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we appreciate it. And like I said, we listen, I got to rap with you. I'm going to hit you up because I got an idea about something. I'm going to hit you up and try to, but I'm going to talk about that off air. I'm going to hit you up and ask you something, but I'm going to do that off the air. But thank you so much. Where can people find you on social media if they don't already follow you?
You can go to Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. My handle is the same on all platforms.
Yes. Make sure y'all follow her on all social media. And like I said, I'm looking out for that podcast. I'm gonna be looking for it. I follow you on Instagram, so whenever you drop it, I'm ready. If you drop it on Spotify, you know, I'm on there. So I'll be looking for it. But yeah, thank you so much. And what we're gonna do real quick, we're gonna go to break, and when we come back, we're gonna wrap up the show. Like I said, we're giving belated birthday appreciations to Sade and Questlove. This record that we're about to drop, this is off of D'Angelo's Voodoo. It turned 21 earlier this year, in January. It turned 21, and so this is called Chicken Grease. So y'all get into this album cut, and we'll be right back.
Because I need the way. working, trying to send me your energy inside.